Chapter 35. Owen. Zara lies perfectly still on her bed, breathing softly, her eyes closed like she's asleep. She looks absolutely perfect, I think to myself, reaching down and stroking her chestnut hair. I only wish that we could hold each other one last time. Brutal fighting still persists throughout most of the fortress, though I suspect it won't be long before the last of the defenses are finally snuffed out. Elias, stubborn to the end, had insisted on holding the tower. He and a small group of warriors have barricaded the hospital wing, committed to defending the stairwell with their lives. The surgeons, overworked and with limited resources, scuttle around the wide room, administering what little they can to the wounded. A nurse had given Talon a dose of something to lessen his pain, and now he waits rather impatiently to have his arm examined. Without his help, I'll be unable to carry Zara out of here. Not that it really matters. With the stairs blockaded, there is nowhere for us to go. I sit on a small wooden box beside Zara, squeezing her hand and silently praying for her to have a peaceful transition to the next world. I've abandoned all hope in the face of inescapable death and resigned myself to our fate. Unexpectedly, something catches my attention, pulling me out of my defeated reverie. A distant sound coming from an open window on the other side of the room. At first, I think that it must be my imagination, but then I hear it again, the sound of horns blaring. I stand, favoring my hurt leg, and make my way over to the window, trying to discern the source of the sound. There it is again, I think, cocking my head to the side. It sounds so familiar, like hunting horns. Then it hits me. Leaning out the window, I try to catch a glimpse of the source of the noise. The horns continue to blast, growing louder with every passing minute. Some commotion seems to be occurring on the far side of the city near the broken stone doors, and even as I watch, the king's troops, gathered outside of the citadel, begin to change their formations, turning around to face whatever it is that's coming their way. "What is it?" Talon asks, holding his mangled arm. His face is pale from the loss of blood. "The cavalry," I reply, a faint smile gracing my lips. "They've finally arrived." "What do you mean, the cavalry? Who's blowing those horns?" I look back over my shoulder at him, feeling so relieved that I want to break down and cry. "Remember that letter I sent before the siege began?" He nods. "I sent it to the Master Warden at the Grand Lodge," I reply, tears brimming my eyes. His mouth drops open. "So that means..." "Yes," I reply, chest swelling with newfound hope. "The Rangers have come." 1,000 Rangers rip through the city like vengeful spirits, taking General Moore's army completely by surprise. They stalk through the streets like predators, using arrows and blades to carve a way straight to the citadel, slaying all in their path. The army, suddenly aware of this new threat, releases its death grip on the fortress and begins to focus entirely on the Rangers, forming up new ranks and repositioning their crossbowmen. It does them little good. When the two sides meet, it becomes blatantly obvious who is going to win the day. The waning strength of the king's army is no match for the Rangers' skill in battle, their front lines falling swiftly to the relentless hailstorm of arrows and whirling blades. Emboldened by the sudden turn of events, the remaining Nightingale defenders manage to retake the citadel's walls, raining death upon the king's troops from behind and creating a vise that squeezes the kingsmen, assaulting them on all sides. Within a single hour, the battle is over, despite the invaders outnumbering the newcomers 5-1. Many flee through the city, finding openings and breaking for the mountains, but a large number become trapped, throwing their weapons down in surrender. Against all odds, Dunmar City still stands. Elias and I make our way back through the halls of the fortress, passing bodies and wounded men practically everywhere we turn. Talon stays behind, passed out on a litter with his arm clean and bandaged. "So much death," I think, gazing sadly at all the corpses, "and all of it could have been avoided." When we reach the gatehouse, a familiar face makes her way toward me, her grim expression growing relieved. "I was worried you wouldn't come," I say, limping up to Master Warden Tamara Moyle. "We protect the borders of the realms of men, Owen Lund," she replies, sliding her sword back into its sheath, "even when our enemies come from within those borders." Part of me wants to race up and hug her, but I resist the urge, instead bowing my head as a sign of respect. Elias stiffly salutes Tamara, despite being bloodied on both his sides. "Master Warden," he says, "congratulations on your recent advancement. I can think of no one better to lead the Rangers during this time."
"Elias Keen," Tamara replies coolly, examining Elias up and down. Her golden hair is pulled into a familiar braid that falls over her right shoulder. "It's been a long time."
"It has," he agrees, meeting her gaze. Something in the way he looks at her gives me pause. She stares at him for a long moment before continuing.
"I have heard some troubling reports about your involvement with the Nightingales. I am sure the story of how you all ended up here is interesting, to say the least."
"It's a long story," Elias confirms. "I would be happy to debrief you on the subject at a later time." She eyes him expectantly.
"I look forward to hearing your explanation."
Behind her, legions of green-cloaked rangers round up the battered soldiers of the king's army. Many have been killed in the final battle, but the bulk of them remain, looking around uncertainly as the rangers relieve them of their weapons and organize them into groups. I spot General Moore in his gleaming armor, throwing his mace to the ground in disgust as a pair of rangers tie his hands behind him. He looks furious, his jaw tight as he maintains an erect posture.
"What do we do now?" I ask, looking back at Tamara. "We've all committed treason by fighting against the king." "I think King Æthelgar will be more agreeable when he learns that he's lost the support of the rangers and the bulk of his army," she replies. "He's suffered a major defeat here and will no doubt lose influence among key supporters in the city. Besides," she glances over her shoulder at the broken doors at the front of the cavern, "the real enemy is still out there, getting ready to strike. We can't allow civil war to tear us apart, with the R'hllar on our borders." Elias nods in agreement and rests a hand on his injured side.
"We'll need to repair what was broken," he says. "Dunmar City has been devastated, her people almost destroyed. We need to tend to them first and foremost before we can bring everyone together."
"That," Tamara says and points at his bloody torso, "and to those wounds as well."
We head back inside as the rangers begin marching the prisoners out of the city. They keep arrows trained on them even as they trudge defeated through the streets.
Inside, there is a mixture of relief and mourning as the Nightingales pick through their dead. Fortunately, most of the civilians were untouched by the fighting, the chambers beneath the fortress sheltering them from the siege. However, many fathers, brothers, and sons were lost defending their homes. It's because of their sacrifice that their families survive. A field surgeon sews up my leg, and I immediately begin aiding the soldiers with moving their dead. Elias helps for a time before he finally yields and goes to the tower to have his wounds mended. It's a long, grisly process, but it feels good to keep moving despite my exhaustion. Staying busy occupies my thoughts, keeping the sorrow at bay. Hours pass, and I can see the waning light of the sun filtering through the damaged doors at the front of the city. It will be night soon, and then I'll be able to get some much-needed rest. As I help an archer carry yet another corpse from the gatehouse to the wagons of dead outside, I see Talon out walking with the aid of a nurse. He appears dreadful, his movements shaky and his skin a pallid white, but he manages well enough. The bandage covering his arm is dark red and will likely need to be changed soon. We deposit the body into a wagon, and I approach him, my eyebrows knitting together in concern.
"You shouldn't be out here, Tal. You need to be resting."
I wanted to see for myself, he replies, leaning heavily on the nurse for support. She seems to be about our age and looks pretty, with wavy dark hair and thick eyelashes.
11 hells, he trails off as he looks out around us, the sunlight brightening his face. That's a beautiful sight. I never thought we'd get out of that mess.
The space between the citadel and the city has become something of a graveyard, with the bodies of the Nightingales separated from those of the king's men. It's a terrible sight, but I understand his meaning. There is no army standing between us and freedom. Talon thanks the nurse, calling her Sybil, and says he wants a moment alone with me. She nods and departs, leaving the two of us standing by the wagon, a morose silence ensuing. After a minute he speaks up, his voice surprisingly full of emotion.
You saved my life, Owen, he says, meeting my eyes. You saved all of our lives.
It was nothing, I reply lamely, just doing what I thought was right.
It wasn't nothing, he insists. It was everything. A man who hates the Nightingales wouldn't have acted like you did, fighting beside them, reaching out to our fellow rangers and putting your entire life at stake. You're a hero, Owen, and I'm honored to have fought by your side.
I feel unsure of how to respond. Clearing my throat, I flash him a grin.
Just buy me an ale, and we'll call it even.
He chuckles.
I'll buy you 1,000 ales, and it still won't be enough.
He waves for Sybil to come over and help him. As she does, I notice the two of them eyeing each other with some affection.
Good for you, Tal, I think, smiling inwardly. You need a good girl to keep you grounded.
Waving farewell, I go to find someone else to help.
Oh, Talon says over his shoulder, almost offhandedly, you might want to make your way over to the hospital wing. I think there's someone there who wants to see you.
I quirk an eyebrow at him, not fully grasping what he means by that. Then my eyes widen in understanding, noting the sly grin splitting his face. Without saying another word, I sprint toward the citadel, though it's more of an awkward lope because of my wounded leg. Dashing past workers and piles of rubble, I move through the ruined gates and into the twisted hallways of stone. When I finally reach the tower, I climb the steps 2 and 3 at a time, ignoring the pains of my injuries as I work my way to the top. Pushing open the door, I stagger into the wide room that smells of blood and antiseptic. My eyes scan the crowd of wounded men searching for a sign of blue robes. Then I see her. Zara sits in a chair on the far side of the room with a blanket wrapped around her shoulders. She holds a steaming mug and her hair is pulled back into a messy ponytail, loose strands framing her face. She looks absolutely perfect. I cross the room, making straight for her position, and when she spots me, she smiles, her tired eyes lighting up.
There you are, she says, setting down her mug and standing. Fancy seeing you here.
She cuts off as I lean in and kiss her, wrapping my arms around her slight form in a tight embrace. At first she stiffens, taken off guard by the suddenness of my advance, but then she melts into me, her eyes closing as she kisses me back passionately. The world seems to slow down around us, all the noise and outside influences growing fainter until it is just her and me, enjoying a tender moment in each other's arms. Eventually, though I'm not sure how long, we pull away. Several of the nurses giggle and whisper, but I don't care. I'm content to just stare into those brown eyes forever.
Well, she says breathlessly, took you long enough?
I smile sheepishly. Sorry about that.
It's fine,
she replies, blushing and glancing away.
It was worth the wait. Though I'm sorry about my appearance, I know that I must look dreadful.
You look beautiful, I reply quietly, taking her hand in mine. She gazes back at me, a demure smile spreading across her face.
They tell me I've been out for quite a while. Did I miss anything exciting?
Don't worry, I laugh, unable to keep the tears from welling up in my eyes.
I'll tell you all about it. There's nowhere else I'd rather be than right here, close beside her.